Well, boy, it doesn't take a lot of imagination to understand that Duluth has to be a strong town, period, to survive the kind of climate that we have up here. But there are other factors that go into being a strong town, and Chuck Marone is a guy who knows about most of them. He joins us this morning as our guest. Hey, Chuck, it's so nice to have you with us. Hi there.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
You bet. You have founded a group called Strong Towns. You're the author of a book called Strong Towns, A Bottom-Up Revolution to Rebuild American Prosperity. So your idea is that many small towns are still struggling financially, despite the fact that they may have been growing and things may have been kind of on the uptick for them. One of the weird things that I've noticed is that the cultural revolution that came about with the rise of the internet has had so many wide-reaching implications in so many ways that we never would have thought of. And we are having to rethink some of our most fundamental assumptions about just about everything now in this day and age. Is this a part of that, or is this something different?
I think it's, obviously, I think the internet has accelerated a lot of what we've seen and maybe make it more like hyper-urgent. But there's no doubt that this is really a story of post-depression kind of development patterns and how they've evolved over time. I'm an engineer and a city planner, and I started to recognize in my practice a couple decades ago that the cities that I was working with, you know, even very large cities, as they were growing, the growth created this illusion of wealth. It gives them a short-term sugar high, and in exchange for that, they take on these long-term liabilities. Part of my job as an engineer was to focus on those long-term liabilities. And when I started to do something that cities don't do, which is compare the cost to the revenues coming in, it became apparent to me very quickly that there was a huge mismatch here. We could get a dollar of cash today if we were to take on $5, $10 plus of promises that would come due 1, 2, 3 decades from now. When you run that model out over a generation or two, what you see is that cities can grow very quickly, and Duluth certainly has experienced a lot of growth and a lot of investment and a lot of renewal. But as part of that growth process, when we take on these promises, ultimately those start to bite. And one of the things we're seeing with cities now across North America is that even when they're growing, they're overwhelmed with maintenance liabilities. They don't have enough money to maintain their roads, their pipes, their public libraries, their school systems. And you look, and as part of it, we've taken on a lot of debt to keep things going. And there's just a limit to how far you can stretch that.
I can imagine.
Cities are really fragile.
I would imagine that this is an extraordinarily popular model, however, for cities, because politically speaking, and I'm talking in general terms now, politically speaking, a city leader can point to growth, can bring in that dollar, and will probably be out of office by the time that $5 or $10 bill comes due 10, 20 years down the road.
That's exactly right. And culturally, we've come to associate new growth with economic well-being. In fact, I sat through hundreds of council meetings where we would debate projects that nobody really wanted and people didn't really like in any way, but ultimately went ahead because we wanted the growth. We felt that that was important for our economy. One of the things that we've pointed out and pointed out quite vigorously is that there is this short-term to long-term trade-off. And, you know, when we look at past societies, we look at societies really pre-Great Depression, there was more factors kind of pushing back on just a one-dimensional growth objective. There were a lot of different interests to be harmonized. And today we've cleared a lot of those out of the way based around this one central objective. And I think culturally we have to talk about how we're going to build our cities in a different way.
Is this the kind of thing that people are talking about when they're critical, for example, of news organizations citing growth in the stock market? And they say, what's going on in the stock market doesn't affect me. I'm still working three jobs just to make ends meet.
But I think that you see this disconnect between what I think you could think of as the paper economy and the real economy. We've been told for some time now that the economy is growing, we're creating jobs, unemployment is at all-time lows. Yet when we switch to the smaller micro units, the place where things actually matter, families, small businesses, municipalities, which really is like a collection of us at the local level, those places are hurting financially big time. I mean, there's a lot of deep systematic struggles. What you're seeing is that these macro statistics, unemployment, GDP growth, the stock market, are not reflecting reality anymore. And our public policy just hasn't caught up to that.
So you're going to be speaking tonight from 6:30 to 8:30 at Zeitgeist. And incidentally, we'll just throw in that the event is free, but they do want you to register in advance. They want you to get tickets. You have to get a ticket, even though it's free. I suppose I got to know how many, you know, cups of coffee to make available for folks. So that's fair. One of the things that you're going to be doing tonight as a part of your conversation is this idea of public engagement and also inviting cities to, or maybe subsets of cities, to kind of take on an adventure. Talk about that just a little bit. We don't want you to scoop your entire presentation for tonight, but talk about that just a little bit.
Yeah, that's good. I think they need the RSVP because I actually think there's limited seating and we might be getting close to capacity. So if people are listening and want to come, they should jump on that.
Well, and close to capacity is good because people will be sitting next to each other, mashed in a little bit. It'll be warmer that way.
I hear you. I think when we talk about public engagement, cities, you know, as kind of all levels of government have now become very adept at delivering projects with this kind of veneer of listening to the public. I worked in many capacities where we would develop the project we wanted to do at the municipal level, and then we would go forward and we'd have a process to, you know, quote, engage the public that would involve essentially selling the project to people and getting enough support to where we could, you know, justify doing it without too much backlash. Real public engagement, and really I'm going to tie this to cities that want to make good public investments, actually start public engagement differently. They start by looking at where people struggle, and they try with a very incremental mindset to address those struggles. This is not glamorous work. It feels a lot more like social work than, you know, Robert Moses kind of big construction projects. But actually, by getting in the trenches and by looking at the day-to-day struggles of people, we can start to make better use of all the stuff we've already built. Make good investments that cost a dollar but return way more than that, and actually improve people's lives, which is a big part of why we do, you know, why do we build infrastructure? Not just to have pipes and roads. We build it to actually make people's lives better, and we've kind of lost touch with that.
We have gotten, as a society, and I think in our individual communities across Minnesota, where many communities are struggling. You know, of course, we've got the big metro areas to the south of us, but in the rest of what we like to call greater Minnesota, we really are struggling. And so when city leaders start bandying about words, like jobs, it's almost a dog whistle. You know, people are like, yeah, jobs. We don't care what you're making. It's going to create jobs. How do you get people to look at that buzzword critically and look at it and actually parse it a little bit to see, again, are we doing something that's sustainable, that's long term, that's maybe going to return dollars right away or not? How do we get people to just take a minute and try to pick that apart a little bit before they react?
I think the first thing is to start with some empathy. in places that are deeply desperate, and many, I agree with you, many of our greater Minnesota cities are very desperate. You know, I need a job. I need to put food on the table. And that kind of becomes a central paramount consideration. So I get the emotion. I get the reaction. Jobs are the byproduct of having a productive economy. They're not a surrogate for that. You can look at the deal, like I think the biggest one in our region is what Wisconsin did with Foxconn, you know, paying them billions of dollars to move there. And that has turned into a financial disaster that has, you know, failed to generate what they'd hoped. Like all undertakings that are financial, we can create success today if we're willing to sacrifice our tomorrow. When we live in a place, when we're rooted in a community, you know, when we're trying to do things collectively at the local level, I think we have time to reflect on those short-term and long-term trade-offs more thoroughly. And I think we just need a demand from our leaders that, hey, we don't expect you to solve every problem tomorrow, but let's put us on a good, healthy path of diet and exercise. And let's celebrate the small improvements along the way that we get from that and create some momentum that ultimately will result not just in good, stable jobs, but, you know, good local business economy, lower taxes, higher services, and a higher quality of life for everybody.
Chuck, it sounds like your conversation tonight at Zeitgeist is going to be fascinating. Zeitgeist Teatro is where Chuck is going to be speaking this evening. The event is free, but tickets are required. Limited seating is available, and we'll get a link set up on our website, so it'll be easy for folks to find that information. Chuck, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. Fascinating conversation.
Hey, thank you. It was a treat to chat. You take care.
Chuck Marone, our guest here on 103.3 KUMD.